My brothers and sisters, immediately you know that something's different about our Mass today. We have many of our school children participating, whether in the choir, as lectors, ushers, servers, and so on. The reason being that today marks the beginning of Catholic Schools Week throughout our country. We pause and consider then the importance of education in our church. In our Eucharistic prayer, the first one, the Roman canon, we pray, quote, "For those who, holding to the truth, hand on the Catholic and apostolic faith." That's an important prayer because our faith is apostolic. In our gospel today, we hear of how our Lord called his first apostles. For 3 years, these apostles would be taught by our Lord. They would be educated in the ways of our Lord, witnessing his public ministry, and then witnessing his passion, death, and resurrection. At the ascension, our Lord told the apostles, "Now you go out, preach the gospel, teach what I have commanded you, make disciples, and baptize." Filled with the Holy Spirit, that is exactly what these apostles did. They went out. They founded the church that we have to this very day. They handed on the faith, the same faith that has been given to us. Keep in mind that the Holy Spirit was always with them, the Spirit whom our Lord identified as the Spirit of Truth, the one who would enable them to preserve the truth that Christ had revealed, to teach that truth without error, and also to expound upon that truth so that we, even in our present day and age, could live authentic Christian lives. So here we have this idea of education, this drawing out of ourselves from the Latin educare, to draw us out, to lead us on a way, and that is to lead us to Christ. When we consider Genesis, we remember how God made us in his image and likeness. That image and likeness has been perfectly revealed by our Savior. So part of our education in the faith is to come to an identity with Christ, to live as he has lived, to have that constant conversion, as we hear in the gospel, of turning our lives over to Christ. Of course, this also involves being with others. So Christ told us that we're part of a community we call the church, but then also that broader community in which we live. So part of the education is living a Christian life with our neighbor, and also being like the apostles to evangelize others. In Genesis 2, we hear of how God set Adam and Eve, our first parents, over all of creation, making them good stewards. So part of education is realizing all that we have here on this earth is a gift from God to be used wisely, to be known, but to be used wisely for God's glory as well as for our good and the good of others. So here's this idea of education, a spiritual education that unites us with our Lord, but then also teaches us how we're called to live in this life, preparing us for everlasting life. For good reason, then. Ever since the time of the church, the very beginnings, we've seen an importance in education. After the collapse of the Roman Empire, especially, we see how the monasteries took control of education. These monasteries, primarily Benedictine monasteries, were the schools. Yes, they were churches, they were monastic communities, but they were the schools. We look to these monasteries during the time of that feudal period, Middle Age period, and there we see how those monks preserved the classics of the Greek and Roman philosophers, but expounded on them, as did St. Anselm, St. Thomas Aquinas. They preserved history, the history that we still enjoy to this day. And we find St. Bede preserving that history. Or they expounded and investigated the things of this world, looking into subjects of astronomy or just plants, animals, or even looking into things of medicine. And so, the great saints, like St. Albert the Great, preserved this knowledge, forming the first encyclopedias that we had. These saints, too, or these early monks, were the ones who started preserving and expanding the arts. We think of music, how Pope St. Gregory really expounded upon the music, a basis for our Western music, or how Abbot Suger is the one who developed Gothic architecture in France. We could go on and on. If you ever want to see the impact that the Church had, we could turn to a book called How the Catholic Church Built Western Civilization. A good book, because it shows how our Church is the one who not only handed on the faith, but because of the sciences, math, philosophy, literature, history, and so on, enabled us to live in that image and likeness of God, living as human beings who glorify the Creator who's given us all. But take it further then, as the cities developed, so now moving into the Renaissance period, the Church founded the first universities. The Church founded those early universities of Padua, Bologna, Paris, Heidelberg, Oxford, Cambridge, all the Church's work. And why? Because the university wasn't meant to be a place where God was kept out, that God didn't exist, but rather God was the one who permeated all of education. That the role of the university was to help individuals know God better, and in so doing, know how to live in this world and investigate the things of this world. As time goes on, we see too how the Church saw the need to expand that education to all people, again, especially with the rise of cities. So someone like St. Angela Merici founded a community of sisters, the Ursulines, who cared for especially girls who were at risk. St. Jean-Baptiste de La Salle, the founder of the Christian Brothers, introduced the classroom method because people, unless you were nobility, could not afford tutors, so he formed classrooms to educate all. Or we have, even later on, St. Ignatius Loyola, seeing how important that the mission of the Jesuits would be to educate at the high school and college levels. In our own country, too, we find the importance of education. Keep in mind that what we call public education today, government-funded schooling, did not exist until the late 1800s. Until then, it was up to churches. So consider how Blessed Junipero Serra, in the early 1700s, founded the mission system in California, not only to provide schooling for the colonists of Spain, but also to educate the native peoples, to teach the American Indians how to read and write, how to do farming, and so on. Or going to the other side of our country, the East Coast side, with the British colonization primarily, Catholic kids weren't welcome in the Protestant-run schools, so what do? Well, St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. John Newman in the early 1800s laid the foundations for our parochial school system. That's why we had parish schools. How else would we educate our children? Later on, St. Catherine Drexel, a wealthy heiress, founded a community of sisters, the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, specifically to care for the African Americans who were segregated out of regular public education, and also the American Indians, who by the late 1800s were relegated to the reservations. And then in the early 1900s, St. Francis Cabrini, because of the wave of new immigration, especially from Italy, came to this country, founded schools as well as orphanages to help these immigrant people be educated so that they could take a proper place in American society. Again, they weren't welcome in the regular school system. But here, in this little brief glimpse, we see that our church has always saw a need for good education. Again, to unite us with God, but to also help us know ourselves better and to live in this world as God wants us to live in this world. So therefore, we have a Catholic school here, and many parishes do. Some may ask in our world today, well, why is that really needed? After all, the family is really the basis for any education, and the government certainly does put enough money into the public government-funded school system. Why do we have a Catholic school here? Well, a good reason. And maybe it goes back to something that's a different perspective of life. First of all, the home is the basic school. Parents are the first educators. You parents always have to ask yourself, are the values you want your children to have, the values you want them to live as they mature, are those values the same ones being taught in the school they attend? After all, who spends more hours educating them each day? You at home or those you entrust to their education? Good question. In our age of political ideology, is the school doing what you would want your children to have taught to them? And then also there's a perspective and a shift in public education. If you go to Harvard University, one of the buildings there that was given and founded in the late 1800s has this big inscription. It says, "Man is the measure of all things." Well, that's not true. We aren't the measure of all things. God is. And that's why the highest point of these buildings is a cross. God is the measure of all things. If we say that I'm the measure of all things, then we can decide what's true, whatever we want it to be. We can decide what's right, whatever we want it to be. It's all according to my little selfish instincts. Instead, the Catholic perspective of education is God, specifically Jesus, is the measure of all things. So in our school curriculum, we're governed by what our Lord did, as we hear in the gospel. He preached the gospel, he taught, and he cured. So yes, our basic curriculum at our Catholic school is preaching the gospel in formal religion classes, in the celebration of school mass every Friday, monthly confession, prayers at the beginning, the end of the day, before lunchtime meals and other times, and other liturgical activities. But in all, it's a mindset where God is present in our lives throughout our day. We do teach, of course. So the curriculum is basically the same. You have history, arithmetic, reading, things like that, of course. But the approach is different. If one pursues science and sees the beauty of the universe, or explores how plants work, can't one say, look at the majesty of God, how beautiful God is, that God created all of these things. Or then we go on to, of course, the curing part. And that's really the idea of service, that our kids practice and learn virtues every month, a particular virtue. They have service projects, collecting clothes, food, things of that nature. But all of those special service projects have the mindset of, we do this for Christ. Christ said, whatever you do to the least of your brothers, that you do unto me. So the perspective is different. And again, what's happening in the school has to be founded upon and reinforced in what happens at home. Hopefully, same values, same lived life experience. Is any school perfect? No, we're poor little weak human beings, we know that. But we can say God is welcome in that school. God's the reason for that school. And also, while we could say, well, we have same subjects and technology and everything else as a government-funded school, we also have some things that they don't have, some things that some educators would say are old-fashioned. For instance, our kids learn cursive handwriting because I would want my children to know how to read the original copy of the Declaration of Independence, which is in cursive handwriting. I would want my child to know how to sign his name, not just put an X or a squiggle. Cursive handwriting is important. Our children learn Latin because that's the root of the Romance languages. It's essential to English. It helps with grammar, vocabulary, and helps cognitive thinking skills, analytical skills. And so there are a few little differences. Another is our kids, as you see, wear uniforms because self-discipline is important. Seeing the importance of education is good. And also they shouldn't have to worry about the social standards of society, what brand name you have, what label you have, and so on. Different perspective. So we're having an open house this Wednesday. I am very thankful for all of our teachers and administrators. And as a church, a huge universal church, we should be thankful for all the priests, men and women, religious, the lay teachers who have handed on the faith to this day. But I ask you parents, especially those of you with little ones who are going to be starting school soon, to consider the investment in Catholic education. It's a sacrifice, yes, but we are educating not just for the present moment, we're educating for eternity. May God bless you.